May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So my wife, Sarah, and I, we love reading both kind of novels, but also kind of magazines. And in fact, so I'm kind of old-fashioned. I read kind of physical paper books and magazines, whereas my wife, she's always on her iPad, either listening or reading things there. And often at night, we'll be sitting in bed, and we're like exchanging what we've been reading. And so, you know, I'll say, and I'll have my economist and say things like, "Dear, there's a terribly interesting article here about the rebalancing of the Pakistani economy." And she'll kind of look at me, "Yes, dear, very interesting, I'm sure." And then she'll share something with me that actually is quite useful, something like about, you know, getting your life-work balance right, about healthy living, about effective teamwork, something like that. And recently she had been listening to a TED Talk, which really, I found really interesting, and it was called, it was given by someone called Professor Kelly McGonigal. I should know this, given now that I've discovered I'm Irish, it was entitled, "How to Make Stress Your Friend." How to Make Stress Your Friend. So I'm not going to go into great detail about all the scientific research, but the conclusion was that stress is indeed deadly, but only to those that believe that stress is bad for your health. For those who feel that stress isn't inherently bad, but is in fact just a fact of life, it has no impact on your health whatsoever. It seems kind of somewhat implausible, but Professor McGonigal says that stress actually can be very good for you, and there are two reasons for this. First of all, that the adrenaline that pumps through our body at stressful moments, like when we're preaching a sermon or when we're running away from a grizzly bear or something like that, no matter what it may be, that stress and it pumps adrenaline through your body so you're ready for action, whatever the task may be. You know, your heart pumps harder and the oxygen pumps more firmly. But then there's a second important hormone that's also released when you face stress, and it's called oxytocin. It's sometimes apparently referred to the cuddle hormone because that's what is released when you are hugged by someone. Now, as a rather reserved Englishman, I have no idea what they're talking about, so I'll just take it on trust, you know. But so this hormone is also a stress hormone that does something very interesting. It primes you to strengthen your close relationships. It makes you more supportive of others and more compassion. This stress hormone makes you want to reach out to people you trust and makes you want to be surrounded by people who care. And it also has an anti-inflammatory effect on your heart and helps rejuvenate your cells. And as I thought about our reading from Isaiah today, those words, "Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light." It made me wonder, from what we now know about stress and adrenaline and oxytocin, maybe we could rephrase that verse too. Because the people have walked in darkness, they can see a great light. Because the people have walked in darkness, they now can see a great light. When Isaiah was writing, he was talking to a people who were living under oppression, to people who were refugees in a foreign land, who desperately wanted to return home. They were desperate to hear some message of hope, some promise, something or someone who could bring about their longing to be home, someone who could talk about how things could turn around. But being in that darkness, because they knew that darkness, they knew what the light looked like, and they didn't take that light for granted. And the same was true for the Israelites living under the oppressive rule of the Romans. And isn't that true for us as well in our lives? I would be very surprised if any of us have been lucky enough to avoid darkness in our lives. If any of us sitting here in this church today haven't faced some kind of darkness, a death in the family, a financial crisis, an emotional crisis, an illness, whatever it might be. And I would be also very surprised if many of us could say that those moments of darkness hadn't helped us grow in wisdom, grow in spiritual depth, and grow in faith. I have never heard anyone say, the last 10 years have been really smooth sailing for me, and boy, have I grown from it. I feel much closer to God and my friends because of that. You know, I've been ordained almost for 25 years, and I think back on those early days when I was a kind of a curate in Dulwich in South London, you know, often offering pastoral care to people who were twice my age or even three times my age. And I, you know, I just had so little resources to draw upon as I was with people facing crises. But it's over the last 25 years of facing my own failures, worrying about things that maybe did or didn't happen, facing times of darkness, times of death or stress in my family. It's during those times of darkness that I've built up the spiritual wisdom and insight and that sense of God's closeness to me, no matter what the circumstances, that I hope have enabled me to be at least somewhat of a decent pastor to people when they're facing difficult things. And, you know, the thing about darkness is that it's like this deep, dark, rich soil that just lies below the surface of things, that it's in that deep, dark soil that new fruit and seeds grow and new things happen. But the truth is, we will do almost anything to avoid the darkness. Sarah was also talking about a book that she had recently read called Learning to Walk in the Dark by a woman called Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest. And in the book, she refers to the work of a psychologist called Professor Greenspan. And although I hate quoting chunks of stuff in a sermon, I'm going to just read you a thing that Greenspan said about darkness and the importance it has in our lives. One of the main things that tip people towards garden variety depression, Greenspan says, is low tolerance for sadness. It is the inability to bear dark emotions that causes many of our most significant problems. In other words, it is not the emotions in themselves. When we cannot tolerate the dark, we try all kinds of artificial lights, including but not limited to drugs, alcohol, shopping, and hours in front of the television or the computer. There are no dark emotions, Greenspan says, just unskilled ways of coping with the emotions we cannot bear. The emotions themselves, he says, are conduits of pure energy that want something from us, to wake us up, to tell us something we need to know, to break the ice around our hearts, to move us to action. The way we move through the dark is by reaching out to God and to each other. We help others move through the darkness through our acts of compassion and our willingness to support each other. We know that there are many reasons why people come to St. Andrew's. From our parish survey, we learned that, you know, the beautiful music, the beautiful choir, the liturgy, some people even mention the clergy. But a really important thing that people mentioned was the fellowship that they experienced, the support they experienced from each other, the shared faith and support that we give one another. Christ is present when we are present to each other. We are the face of Christ. We are the arms of Christ. We are the voice of Christ. And our calling is to bring Christ's presence into the world for not just the people immediately around us, but for the whole of the world. Amen.